everyone to our Commissioner's Court today. As we begin, I have asked Billy if you would come forward and give us our opening prayer. Let's all stand together, and then Billy, would you stay and lead us in the pledges as well?
Father, we thank you for today, and we ask your blessing over our meeting today. We thank you for all the exciting opportunities that we have to see what's happening in our county, and we thank you for the greatness of it. We thank you for our leaders, and we pray a blessing over our leaders today, and may we have a time where we do everything in accordance to your direction and your laws. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Our pledges.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you. You may be seated. All right, let the record reflect that all are present here today. Do I have a motion to approve the court agenda?
Move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right, proclamations and resolutions. Presentation of Employee of the Month. There we go.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. My name is Tracy Hutchison, and I'm the Chairman for the Employees Committee. And this month, we're going to be presenting April's Employee of the Month. They're going to be receiving a plaque and a Benihana's gift certificate. And I would like Sergeant David Miller from the Sheriff's Office to come up and present for us today.
Sheriff's Department.
Welcome.
Good morning, Commissioners. Good morning. It's my honor and pleasure to be here.
Go ahead and read that.
Our Employee of the Month is a Precinct 4 employee that I've known for a few years now. I've really grown to know him more in the past year, better than I did. He's simply one of those people that is always simply willing to assist. No matter what title it may come under, he's going to make it possible. He's going to do it for you. I worked with him on a few projects. They've always experienced great success. Recently, we had an event where an individual went out into the woods and did something to himself that nobody would wish on anybody. Precinct 4 Judge Commissioner Metz has blessed us with a side-by-side that's stored at their place that's for the dispersal of the Sheriff's Office. And that particular day, with the investigation going on, all of our guys were tied up on either that or disturbances. We had no people. So I reached out to this individual that works for Precinct 4 Commissioner's Office, and I asked if he could simply bring that to the site, you know, so we could utilize it. He not only did that, when he got there, he refused to leave. Mm-hmm. He transported us in and out in the woods, in the mosquitoes, all evening, into the hours of the night, and we were the last to leave. I asked if I could go back and help him put it up. He didn't need any help. Every time that I need something for a constituent, whether it be a sign, whether it be a stop sign, whether it be an animal on the road, he's always there to assist us, and he goes far and beyond. One can thank him all he wants, but all he wants is his desire to be able to help others. And my hat's off to Mr. Gerald Martin.
Woohoo! All right.
If I may, Judge.
Yes, sir.
I've known Gerald Martin for about 20 years, and all those things he said are absolutely true. He's just an outstanding guy that would do anything to help anybody, anytime. Out of 30 years of private business and 18 years now and better of public service, Gerald Martin is the only person that ever turned down a raise. And when Phyllis and I and Diane brought him in the office, we added additional duties and responsibilities for him, and told him that we were going to compensate him for the additional work. He said, guys, he said, I don't need a raise. He said, I'm thankful to have this job, and I really enjoy it, and I like working here. How refreshing. Thank you, Gerald Martin, for the wonderful job that you do in Precinct 4 and assisting Constable Hayden and his team and the Sheriff's Department as well. You are valued. Thank you, sir. I'd like to take a picture if you may.
That's yours.
Thank you, Sergeant Miller.
Yeah.
Come up, take a picture with you. You're welcome to do so.
That's awesome. All right, thank you so much, and congratulations. All right, presentation of award to Judge Wayne Mack. Welcome, Judge Rick Hill from Brazos County.
Good morning, Judge Keogh, Commissioners. So honored to be here today. Again, my name is Judge Rick Hill, Brazos County, Justice of the Peace Precinct 3. I'm the Aggie Judge. All right. A&M sits right smack dab in the middle of my precinct, so I get to ride herd over 70,000 A&M students and their poor choices in life sometimes.
God for the core, right?
Yes, sir. I am president of the Justices of the Peace and Constable Association of Texas currently. We are the largest organization with the most elected officials in the state of Texas, JPs and constables. It's so good to see all the constables here that are here today. This all started last June. We were one of the first organizations to hold a virtual conference. We were going to go to San Antonio last year, and obviously things happened and we couldn't go in person. And so we had a virtual conference to move our organization forward. At that time, Judge Mack was awarded the JPCA Judge of the Year Award. However, it was done virtual. I don't even think the connection worked, did it? All right? And so he missed half the honoring of him. So I want to talk a little bit about him. You guys know him, so I'm not going to read the pages and pages of information, but I would like to talk about a couple things for Judge Mack. He has worked diligently with the Legislative Committee for the past 6 years on issues that involves justice courts and constables, and has testified several times on their behalf regarding legislative issues important to JPCA. He works closely with the other judges and constables to make sure all are communicating with each other to ensure the best possible service to our counties. Currently, he is the chair of our JPCA Judge Legislative Committee. He and I have worked very closely during this legislative session. We've actually taken the call to him, the hammer, okay? What happens is when we need somebody to be direct and talk to a legislator and say, hey, this is how it is, and we would much, and this is straight from his mouth, sir, we are a much better ally than we are a foe. All right, and so he has been a great asset to JPCA. You all know his community work here. He served, or is currently serving on the board of, or committee chair of 15 different nonprofits here. Within the last year, and this obviously now a couple years, he worked diligently to put together a task force dedicated to providing resources and services to prevent suicide and promote mental health awareness. I would like to read a couple of excerpts from some legislators and a congressman. About, this is Kevin Brady. You all know Congressman Brady. I've known Judge Mack for many years and personally observed his leadership and service to Montgomery County. Judge Mack is the very definition of a servant leader and demonstrates deep empathy and compassion for the citizens of Montgomery County. As a co-founder of the Montgomery County Behavioral Health and Suicide Prevention Task Force, Judge Mack coordinated trainings, activities, and outreach events to reduce and prevent suicide. He put it at the bottom in his own writing, Judge Mack is remarkable, all right? And I think we'd all agree about that. State Representative Will Metcalf says, it is my pleasure to write this letter on behalf of my good friend and colleague in Montgomery County. Judge Wayne Mack, who presides over our Precinct 1 Justice of the Peace Court, we have many great elected officials in Montgomery County, but we are especially blessed to have Judge Mack serving Precinct 1. I've known Judge Mack personally for many years and have always had tremendous respect for him between his background, working as an employee of Montgomery County, and then in law enforcement. Judge Mack was prepared from the start to be an excellent Justice of the Peace. Judge Mack is an outstanding example of a true public servant. He's a shining example of what I call a citizen judge. Okay? He's a judge for the citizens. Someone committed to the position and the citizens of Montgomery County and the state of Texas. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor and privilege to present the 2020 Justices of Peace and Constables Association of Texas Judge of the Year Award to Judge Wayne Mack of Montgomery County.
Lots of pictures with other people, probably, or
I don't
know.
Yeah,
he wants his staff. Yeah. Yeah.
Have everybody in the room. No.
I'd like everyone from Justice Court 1 to come up here, please. This award is about as much about the great folks that I get to work with every day, but it's also about my history here as a county and serving 15 commissioners and 5 county judges, and Montgomery County is the reason I love what I do. And I'm very blessed that to work with all the other justice courts here and all the elected officials and the servant leaders that are represented here on this commissioner's court. Thank you for what I get to do every day. I never imagined 36 years ago when I was cleaning and sweeping and mopping the floors over at the courthouse that same courthouse, one day they'd be calling me judge. But I just appreciate what Montgomery County represents, the 2,000 employees here in our county that do the great work that they do every day. And so thank you, Montgomery County, for all you do and letting me be a part of this.
Amen. That's awesome.
Judge Hill?
All right. Thank you. Congratulations, Judge Mack. All right. Proclamation for Veterans Recognition Day on May 1st.
Judge, I'd like to introduce Ashley Taylor and ask her to come to the podium to present this proclamation.
All right. Ashley?
Hello, Commissioners, Judge. I'm Morning. Here to introduce General Hummer. He is a 3-star general, retired from the Marine Corps, but also a Marine spouse, a spouse of a Marine, a father, a grandfather, and a son to a mother who lives here in Montgomery County. And General Hummer is not from here. He picked Montgomery County specifically because of how awesome it is in Texas, how supportive it is of veterans. And in his time here, he has thrived. He has helped the Veteran Services thrive. And in conjunction with this proclamation, he serves on many boards, but he serves on the Board of Combined Arms, which is he's going to talk about in support of Veterans Recognition Day. Sir?
Judge, Commissioners, thanks so much for having us here today. I stand here representing the veterans of Montgomery County. As you may or may not know, the greater Houston area is the second largest population of veterans in the country, whether you know that or not. So we estimate about 300,000 veterans. And Montgomery County being such a fast-growing county, the fastest-growing in the country, we estimate 35,000 to 40,000 veterans in this county alone. So there's a real reason to pay attention to the veterans. Number one, they're a great voting block. But number two, we honor them for their service because we know that it's through our veterans that we have the freedoms that we experience and that we enjoy. So I wanted to talk a little bit about combined arms, and I have a couple flyers here. I'm going to have Ashley give one to each of you. So Combined Arms started about 3 years ago. A couple veterans put it together. When a veteran gets out of the service and comes back to their home communities, they're looking for something. They may be looking for a job. They may be looking to socialize with other veterans. They may want to volunteer in the community with other veterans. So if you look at this flyer and you open it up to the center, these are all the services that Combined Arms, through their network, provide. Now, 3 years ago, they started with six organizations that supported veterans. Today, they have over 100 organizations in this network, and it's primarily the greater Houston area, but we're trying to expand into Montgomery County, and they're trying to expand into some other places too, El Paso, Dallas, and some of the organizations are national, some are regional, and some are local, but they support support veterans. The concept is that a veteran jumps online, most of it's virtual, and they do a assessment, who they are, what service were they in, things like that. And then they ask for what they're looking for. If they're looking for help finding a job, then the organizations that provide career services will come up on their computer and they can pick those. Those organizations then will get in touch with that veteran within 96 hours. And then that starts a process of trying to satisfy what those veterans are looking for. My goal in bringing Combined Arms to Montgomery County is that you can't run into a veteran in Montgomery County that does not know about Combined Arms and the services that they can provide for them. So with that, we're having a Veteran Fest this Saturday, the 1st of May, from 11 to 6 at the location of Outback Western Wear. And this is not just for veterans. It's for the county. It's for veterans. It's for their families. It's for first responders and their families. It's for the community and their families to come together and enjoy a couple live music bands, barbecue. We'll have veteran service representatives there, booths, as well as just regular vendors that you see at a lot of the markets around here. So it should be a fun day. People get to know each other and be able to experience that kind of community with their veterans. So with that, I would like to read the proclamation that's been written for this particular event and Veterans Recognition Day. So, whereas Montgomery County has a large and highly decorated veteran population, and whereas in Montgomery County our military-connected community is a solid foundation of our country's liberty is built upon, and whereas Montgomery County citizens desire to support our men and women in uniform for the sacrifices their service has made in defense of our nation's freedoms, and whereas the Montgomery County Commissioners Court desires to designate the first Saturday of May to bring together service members, veterans, family members, the community, and supporters for a day of camaraderie, family, fun, food, music, and to recognize a patriotism that binds us all together. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Commissioners Court of Montgomery County, Texas, does hereby proclaim May 1, 2021, as Veterans Recognition Day in Montgomery County, Texas, passed and approved the 27th day of April, 2021, signed by Judge Kehoe, Commissioner Walker, Commissioner Riley, Commissioner Nowak, and Commissioner Metz. And thank you very much. One last thing I will say is that Ashley is going to be leaving us shortly. And a lot of people know Ashley Taylor and her contributions to the veterans community. She used to work at Tri-County Behavioral Health, working for the veterans. Now she works for Lone Survivor Foundation. And she has done immeasurable things for the veterans in this county, as well as other folks. She also helped get started the Pod 7 at the county jail, where I mentor and some other veterans mentor. So she's done a lot of things. She's going to be leaving us soon. I'd like to you to join me in a round of applause for her great service.
I move.
And if we could, I'm sorry, if we could get a picture.
We have a motion and a second.
Sorry.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. General Hummer, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Ashley, bless you. We're going to miss
you. Good
luck,
Ashley.
Absolutely. Thank you.
That's great. It'll be a great event. Could we get the veterans up here to take a quick picture? All veterans.
Howard, nice to meet you.
That's awesome. All right.
Everybody's been well in Montgomery County.
Half left, half right. Thank you. Thank you all. Thanks for keeping us free.
Thank you all very
much.
Sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, appreciate y'all.
Looking forward to this weekend.
Yes.
Yep.
All right. Thank you all. Item D, proclamation of 2021 Soil and Water Stewardship Week.
Judge, I got that proclamation here.
Okay.
Whereas fertile soil and clean water provide us with our daily sustenance, and whereas effective conservation practices has helped provide us rich standard of living, and whereas our security depends upon healthy soil and clean water, and whereas stewardship calls for each person to help conserve these precious resources, therefore I do hereby proclaim April 25th to May the 2nd, 2021, Soil and Water Stewardship Week. I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Appreciate that so much. All right, let's move forward. The County Clerk, minutes from April 13th. We have a motion to approve.
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I had a item I'd like to pull to open.
Okay, which one is that?
The page 6 of 12, item 10A, 10I3A. It's under Precinct 3. Commissioner Nowak.
Okay. Are there any other modifications to the agenda?
Judge, you're going to have to pull the corresponding PCR with that as well. There's a PCR and consent as well with that.
Okay, so how should we handle that? What do I need to
do? We'll just pull that one PCR, so you'll be... I think Doty is pulling it. You'll just vote on all the PCRs except for that one.
Yeah, okay. All right, so are there any other modifications to the consent agenda? Pulling that one particular PCR out.
Nope.
All right, if there are no modifications, do we have a motion to approve?
Move.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, page 6, Commissioner Metz.
So this is an item that Commissioner Nowak has on there. We had something similar to that about 2 weeks ago, and I just want to bring this light to understand this, Commissioner Nowak. You didn't approve it last time. You voted against what Constable Hayden had on there because it wasn't at budget at that time. And I felt like that it was needed, and so did he and others. And this is probably needed here as well. But it can't be a double standard here, in my opinion. We need to support each other and be supportive of that. And it's I don't know if it was good. It wasn't a good idea 2 weeks ago, but it's a good idea today, it seems like.
No, this is actually a great idea, and the difference is, one, it's not giving somebody a raise in the middle of the year or a promotion. What this is let me finish now. What this is actually doing is this is taking a position that has been funded by the general fund, and it is now going to be funded by my office.
Outstanding.
Just like the rest of the members to the left of me are. Every one of the positions that serve in their office is paid for by their budget. Unfortunately, Amanda and I noticed that mine was not, and it has been paid for by the general fund all this time, and I want to correct that and make sure that it is paid for through the Bridge Fund.
And I commend you for that. I commend you for that. I'm sure Constable Hayden would love for you to fund a couple of positions for him, as I would as well. But I don't think it's fair. And I'm going to vote for it today, unlike you didn't vote for the other. And I think that you do a good job in running your department down there, as well as all the other elected officials, and myself included, do a good job in running theirs. And I think that this is probably a tool that you need, or you wouldn't have put it on here, just like that was a tool that Constable Hayden needed to do his job. And I'm going to support this today. And with that being said, I move on this.
Thank you. Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Before, as we continue on, before we go into the open session, we need a motion on the PCR.
Okay. I'll move on that as well.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. At this point, we did not mention the citizens. We were in the middle of our other activities with approval of the court and proclamations and resolutions, and I just blew over it. Before we move any farther, I think we need to stop right here, and I'll go back to our citizen comments. Are there any citizens here who would like to make a comment on anything in the agenda or the consent agenda as we move forward? Yes, ma'am. Come forward. If you'd state your name, state your name for the record and the topic, if you would, please.
My name is Sherry Shorten. I'm in Precinct 4, and I'm here to discuss 11A, the budget. Based on preliminary numbers, Montgomery County is expected to receive the $117 million from the American Rescue Plan. However, only half of that will be received in 2021, and the other half will not be received until 2022. Until there is further guidance from the Treasury, Montgomery County has a responsibility to all incorporated and unincorporated areas in the county. And, for example, the Woodlands Township is not eligible for distribution directly from the U.S. Treasury because they're not incorporated yet. As it stands, townships may be able to qualify for non-entitlement funds on the backside, but then that will adjust everybody's 2022 distribution. So it's still quite up in the air. While the American Rescue Plan allows the county to recoup the shortfalls from fines and fees compared to the pre-pandemic levels, the county cannot recoup that lost revenue if they choose to reduce taxes. So you need to be careful when setting budget priorities that could conflict with the U.S. Treasury guidance regarding any reductions in tax revenues. Currently, the county's shortfall in fines and fees is approximately $30 million for 2020. And compared to 2019. I urge the court to put the first $30 million of American Rescue Plan money directly into the general fund to reduce the negative unassigned fund balance, and don't assign it for any other purpose. As you prepare for the budget year, plan a real budget without the American Rescue Plan funds. Those funds are the county safety net all the way to 2024, and anything can happen between now and 2024. This money is not a political football. Treat it as your safety net. If the court is really here for the good of the county, then protect the county's assets with the decisions that this court makes by planning for the future rather than planning for future growth to fix today's shortfalls. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Appreciate it so much. Yes, if you would. Mayor?
Good morning, Commissioners.
Morning.
Judge Keogh. Most of you know me, but for those of you that do not know me, my name is Sarah Countryman, and I'm the mayor of the city of Montgomery. I'm here today to speak on agenda item number 12C regarding the misrepresentation of the request for reimbursement of the city's COVID-19 funds and expenses. On January 11, 2021, the city requested the reimbursement of $15,625.34 in COVID-related expenses. The original email request was submitted to Megan Arthur and then had to be resubmitted to Jason Millsaps on March 10, 2021. During the last meeting of Commissioners Court on April 13, 2021, Mr. Millsaps stated the City of Montgomery's request, and I quote, request an aggregate without any auditing and reductions due to non-allowable expenses is about $75,000. Just as at his glance at some of the expenditures, it would not be allowed, not all of them, unquote. This is an absolute false statement. County Auditor Pandy has confirmed the COVID reimbursement request by the City of Montgomery does, in fact, equal $15,625.34, less sales tax of $5.94, which is a full total of $15,619.40. Again, a far cry from the $75,000 claimed. The city never requested reimbursement anywhere near $75,000 as characterized by Mr. Millsaps. And during the April 13th Commissioner's Court, I have here with me copies of email threads. I also have the copy of the COVID expenditures and ledgers that we submitted not once but twice. We also have the email confirmation from our IT group that states no email was ever received to my inbox or on our servers in October 16th nor October 22nd as was claimed. I also have an email from our IT group that states there was not an issue with our IT email server or any of our IT processes and procedures. I stand before you today with full understanding this request was late. However, obtaining a copy of the October 22nd email allegedly addressed to myself and the city secretary, Susan Hensley, I also noticed that there were several other emails in the BCC of that one email.
Is there a point to this?
Yes, there is.
You're
I'll
yelling.
Get there, please.
Well, hold on. You're yelling at all of us.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is how I speak.
Oh. Interesting.
So there was an email that had myself as well as the city secretary on it and other elected and Montgomery County officials. I have reached out to a few of those officials. And, in fact, not every official listed on that email received such email on October 22nd. So, after discussing the email problem with Mr. Millsaps after the October 13th meeting, I believe he's paved a way for this opportunity to make a formal request to the court and the city, and the city would appreciate the court's consideration for our request. On behalf of the city, I want to clarify that we strictly adhere to the use of funds requirements as the CARES Act has and have only submitted expenses that are COVID-related. I'd be more than happy to pass out these copies of these emails, should you like, and I appreciate your consideration.
Thank you, Mayor. We appreciate it. Appreciate you coming and sharing that with us. All right. Are there any other citizen comments? Yes. Come forward, you state your name for the record.
Good morning, Susan Scruggs. I'm here to talk about your budget and your property tax rate. It's been a real tough year, as you know, and as was stated the last meeting, for the people in your county. And I'm just asking that you folks be empathetic and concerned about all the good people and the suffering that's happened in this county. We live in a community called Dale Webb. It's over 55 community. There's about 350 homes at this time in there. About 100 of those homes are occupied by singles, and about 84 of them are single women. Most of them are widows. And so a property tax increase would probably most of them, you know, I know a lot of them. I don't know all of them, but most of them would be put in a hardship as you continue to increase property taxes each year. So that's one situation that I wanted to bring to your attention. The average age, according to a real estate agent that lives in there, the average age is 60. And a lot of the people still work and had wanted to downsize because they wanted to get ready for their retirement. So I'm asking you to think about that situation. A friend of mine had a job last year in the Woodlands, has lived in the Woodlands. She's a single parent of three teenagers, two twin 14-year-olds and a 15-year-old, and she lost her job due to COVID. The business closed, and she just recently this week found a position. It's been a very difficult year. The church and friends have contributed toward her income during the year, and she's done odd jobs around on different homes. She's had no medical insurance. It's been a very difficult year for her. She does lease a house, and so she is apprehensive that if you do continue to increase the property taxes, that she won't be able to afford to live in a lease house and continue her children in school in the Woodlands. Also, according to Behavioral Health and Suicide Prevention Task Force, a member there told me that they are just overwhelmed with providing services for teens, children, adults, and all of their resources are just completely overwhelmed by the need for that. And they don't have statistics, but they did say that they attributed quite a bit of this to the pandemic. Now, I tried calling a lot of people for statistics, and those statistics were not available. And that is in serving Montgomery County. The mental health issues are just unbelievable. Suicides, alcoholism, drug addiction, domestic violence, domestic abuse, unemployment, business failures, bankruptcies, and on and on and on. And many of these are attributed to the pandemic. So I'm asking you folks here to care about your county, to think about this, and try and contain your budget, and do not raise the property tax rates. And let this pandemic play out. Let our state get more robust the way it was before all of this shut us down, and try and keep your budgets in place. I appreciate Judge Keough and Commissioner Nowak and their stance on this and striving to do this, and I really would appreciate if y'all would search your hearts and do your research, which I know you do, and try and keep everything at the same without raising it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Scruggs. Appreciate it so much. Yes. State your name for the record.
My name is Ed Scruggs, also the spouse of Susan, who just spoke. I think Commissioner Nowak, you had asked for comments about people that had been affected by the pandemic. I just received this today, and I wanted to pass it along to you. It is a Dr. and Mrs. Young of the Woodlands. He is an OBGYN, and his surgeries were deemed not essential. I think they were deemed elective. But he since he's an OBGYN, he did hysterectomies and ectopic pregnancies, which, as some of you may know, which I did not know until I read about it, was a pregnancy outside of the womb. It takes place outside the womb. That is very dangerous to the and life-threatening to the lady involved. And it is also some hysterectomies were also life-threatening. But he couldn't do this because of the doctors not being allowed to do things that were considered elective. They have been severely impacted by this, did not receive any impact from the or any monetary gain from the CARES Act because of his income levels, I'm sure. But in any case, they have been severely affected. And instead of the people coming to him because they were afraid of going to the doctor, he went to them. He actually went out, made house calls to his patients to see if they were okay, how they were doing, and treat them at their house, if he could. But not only were they affected by the pandemic, but they got whacked by the freeze. And due to the lack of income, he has been severely affected, and they still do not have a residence for which they can live in. They've had broken water pipes and so on. That everybody has been affected by that, but they specifically because they were affected by the pandemic and did not have any income. Just another instance of things that have been taking place in the community that I think you wanted to hear about. Okay, thank you. Thank you for your time.
Mr. Scruggs, appreciate it so much. Any other citizen comments? Yes. State your name for the record.
My name is Billy Graff.
Thanks, sir.
Thank y'all for listening to our statements this morning. 2 weeks ago, I stood in front of you gentlemen and made a request based off of a motion that was made and a future vote that was made. And I requested and asked that you guys consider possibly coming back this particular meeting and bring it up for another vote. And I didn't see it on the agenda, so I'm assuming that no one is going to do that today. So what I would like to do is I would like to just ask again publicly if this group of leaders would make a statement to the community today by vote, hopefully not a 3-2 vote like last time, but publicly make a vote saying that you would not raise the cost of living per property taxes to the county residents. We're not talking about appraisal values. We're not talking about tax percentages. What we're talking about is how much my family and every family that's in this room today has to pay to live and rent our homes from the county by paying property taxes. So I'm requesting, and you can do what you want, I'm asking that the five of you take a stand right now, today, before this meeting is over, and tell the citizens of this county that you will not, and that you will not, under any circumstances, other than some dire emergency that may come up, raise the cost of our living, be it you have no control of the appraisals, but you do have control of the percentage that you multiply that by for our costs. I'm just going to ask you to stand before all of us and say, we're not going to cause any more hardship on the people that live in this county by costing us more money to live on the properties that we already own. Thank you.
Thank you, Billy. Are there any other citizen comments? All right. We're going to move forward into our open agenda. Amanda, if you would come and share with us on the topic we just heard about, property tax, and the budget, an upcoming 22 budget. Thank you.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners. This morning I'm here to talk about, as Commissioner Nowak requested last Commissioner's Court, FY21 budget additions that will impact the FY2022 budget. I just want to go through the list, and if you just to kind of give the court a reminder of some of the actions that were taken in Commissioner's Court and through legislative action that required the next FY2022 budget to go up just based on those decisions. The first one is the operations deputy that's in the county judge's office. That is a general funded position with the salary and benefits we anticipate it being $84,700. If you remember, based on a statute on the last legislative session, there was an increase for our CCL judges based on their longevity. That's going to result salary and benefits of a little over $40,000. We did add a driver's license center in Montgomery County, in East County, with the DPS. So we have now providing two employees with those, and those employees, their salary and their benefits, $145,000. IT, Commissioner Riley funded a position for IT out of his budget for 2021, but then we'll roll over to the general fund in 2022 for IT to work on their video management system and the future repository program. We also added in Constable Precinct 2. We promoted a deputy to a sergeant, so there will be a difference in the salary and benefits between those step grades. Emergency management, we added a logistics and inventory control specialist to basically work the warehouse. We would take it 1 year at a time. We know it's going to be part of the 2022 budget. We're going to discuss during that if we want to include it in future years as well. And then Constable Precinct 4, this is the item that was approved last Commissioner's Court, which is the difference between the sergeant and the captain for Constable Hayden's office. And again, that difference is the $30,916, and that's including the salary and the benefits. So not just the step plan, but also or the step difference, but also the FICA and retirements associated with that. Some other.
And so the position that we approved for my office earlier, that will not affect next year's budget.
That's correct.
Okay. Just wanted to point that out.
So the stuff that we've already approved is $469,000. Some other considerations that departments have kind of brought up to you guys and kind of given you a heads up on. The airport, their runway cleaning machine, if you guys decided to fund that, would be the $171,650. The video management system funded by IT, that would be associated with IT, the sheriff's office and the DA's office. I think they're going to bring that back in a few, you know, in some future weeks. But that is something we discussed at last budget workshop. That one would be a $433,000 expense. We don't know necessarily yet what's going to happen with the CCL6. It's anticipated that we're not funding any of that in 2022, but if something changed and you guys decided to bring, you know, pull that as part of the March election for next year, then that's something, you know, that we would need to consider funding. The other thing that I really want to talk to you guys about is the employee insurance, the self-service. Oh, you know, we are self-funded, Montgomery County, and, you know, right now, when we ended the year for 2020, we did end up hitting fund balance more than we anticipated. So we started the self-insurance fund balance in the medical side with $7.6 million last year. And due to increases in employee health costs along with responses to COVID, some of that was covered by the CARES Act, some of it wasn't, resulted in a $1.5 million fund balance in the, at the end. So we hit fund balance for about $6.1 million. We are recommending again this year to go ahead and increase that employer contribution by 5%, which brings the total cost on the general fund side up another $1.4 million. So we've kind of done that a few times in a row just to kind of close that gap so we're not hitting fund balance as hard as we have before. So that's something that I do want you guys to consider thinking about as we go into the budget process. I was asked to put together some township numbers on some of the deputies if we were to go towards a transition plan. So those numbers are also below. Taking into account everything, we do anticipate that if everything that was approved on this, except for CCL6, that would net in another $4 million that would go on top of the budget. So that would be closer to $4.5 million. Now that some of that could be absorbed by growth, but otherwise, you know, those are things to consider when you do set a budget. Okay. Do you guys have any questions or any concerns over this list that I gave you guys today?
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Amanda, last time when you came and spoke to us, you said there were some to be determined items that you brought up in last court, which were the comprehensive fee schedule, budget policy discussion, and then the court budget message. And there's some discrepancy on the court budget message. I just want to encourage you, from my perspective, that I'm expecting to look at a budget that does not raise taxes and that we adopt a no new revenue rate, which means that it's going to remain the same. And now that rate may change, but in terms of appraisals against actual rate, but it will not increase the people's taxes. We talked about that last time. And I would like to see at the outset us start with the end in mind to not raise tax on the people this year, given all that has taken place with COVID. So that's all that I wanted to say about that. There are others I know that feel the same way on the court. You're welcome to talk about it. If not, we'll just move on to the next item, and that's okay too.
And Amanda, I completely agree with the judge. I think that's exactly how we need to look at this budget going forward this year. And Tammy's actually here. I think the average taxable value has increased about 11.86% so far based on the early numbers. which, you know, it just puts our people at a great disadvantage. And so anything we can do to lessen that burden needs to be done.
And I think we would all agree that this is not an easy task. But if we start with the end in mind, as opposed to let's see where we end up, then we will start with the presuppositions that we need to continue on a particular course to benefit the people of this county. And so as a message, at least from your county judge, in my judgment, I think that's what we need to do, and I'll expect to see that as we go through the budget process. All right?
We anticipate putting the best budget that we can, taking into consideration the court's desire, along with some of the needs of the department. So we will have we are working for a low budget. We're working, like I said, in my a lot of the departments that receive my email, I am looking for a lean budget. But if you do have requests, we want those justifications to be business case, so that the departments that we can reflect on those and see if that's something that we want to work on, or if it's something maybe that we add in the future. So I believe I've gotten a message. I think that we are all on the same page. We want a low budget. We want to keep the tax rate as low as we possibly can. But at the same time, we know that there are some real needs out there, and we're going to look at both of those, okay?
Sure, but my message is that we don't want to raise the taxes.
I understand.
Even though we consider all these things, even though we've just seen and we've added things to it at the outset, there is a way to do this. That's your job. I don't know how to get there. I'm just, you asked for a message. That's the message from, I believe, that should be from the court, and everyone's going to come up where they come up with. But just so you know, that's what I'm expecting.
Yep. And I feel the same way. I don't feel like anybody has told me that they want to raise taxes, and so I do feel like we want to keep the taxes the same or lower than what we have before. So
I think we put a good budget together last year. I appreciate your work, Amanda, last year, and what you'll do this year. I think we'll do the same this year. Commissioner Riley and I led the charge last year to even go below the effective rate. I don't know where we'll be right now. We need to see what our needs are and where it stands as we come forward. I don't know if anybody wants to raise taxes for the past, I think you told me, Commissioner, the past six out of eight out of the years that the court voted to lower the tax rate. So I expect it to be a good budget again this year. So we'll see where it stands.
Thank you, Amanda.
No,
I appreciate it so much. Go ahead, Commissioner.
I've never said one time I want to raise taxes. Have you said that, Commissioner Metz?
No,
you
I
ever
have
said
not.
That? Commissioner Walker, you ever said you want to raise taxes?
No, sir.
None of us has ever said that. What I'm saying is we got preliminary numbers that's too early to even be talking about this right now. You know these numbers are going to change. We're going to have the highest number of protests we've ever had this year, and these numbers are going to change. We don't know the exemptions we're going to end up. We don't know any of that yet. And we do know that we're growing by, 25,000 people more moved into this county last year? We've got to provide services, so it's too early to be talking about this. I think we go through our budget workshop with that in mind, that we stay there, and hopefully that we can get there. But we can't commit to doing that right now today. It's too early.
Well, nobody's asking for a vote, Commissioner, and from my perspective, I'm giving my message to Amanda, to our budget officer, and the position on this is if we start with the end in mind that we're not going to raise taxes, that we are not going to take away any services, and we'll be able to get this done. But we got to start there. And it's not too early to talk about this. It keeps coming up. It's not been my item on the agenda. It just keeps coming up, so as long as we're going to bring it on the agenda, I'm going to fight. And I know you are as well. All of us are going to fight for the people to get where we need to be to keep the taxes.
We go through the process.
That's right. We go through the process, but always I suggest we start with the end in mind. This is where we want to be.
And, Judge, you're right. So, it's absolutely never too early to plan. Never too early.
That's not what y'all are doing. You're saying that's where we're going
to
be. Nobody's planning nothing.
To argue the point is foolish.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Well, that being said, we know where we stand.
Believe me,
we all want to get to the same place. I'm just going to assume nobody wants to raise taxes on anybody, but you asked for a message, and we really didn't get a message last week, and I wanted to give you a message, Amanda, that you would, when you bring me the information, that you would know where I'm coming from as we talk about it. All right, let's move on. Emergency management. Jason?
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Item 11A, or excuse me, 12A, consider assessor pay pre-action if necessary on the vaccine distribution. I'm not looking for a motion today. I just, again, bring this up as a update to what's been going on since last time we talked. As of last night at 4 o'clock, the county has administered through all of our partners 309,463,000 vaccines. That's first and second doses. At 199,000 of them, almost 200,000 are first dose. 119,000 have received both doses of either Pfizer or Moderna. There's been very few Johnson & Johnson shots given in the county before they were taken off, and now they're back on. The highlights of those numbers are 67.5% of 65 and up adults in the county have received at least one dose, and 51.69% of them have been fully vaccinated. That's our most vulnerable population. And they're continuing as we speak today to work on that. This entire week is almost second dose exclusive week, where we expect to do about 12,000 second doses alone this week. So these numbers are going to keep going up. So,
what is the status with the Johnson & Johnson? I mean, you said we've gave some, but where?
Yeah. So the county as a whole, on our partners that we used, gave none. But other like providers, like pharmacies and medical professionals, doctor's offices, did receive some Johnson & Johnson before they were pulled off of use from the CDC and put on pause. As of the Friday of last week, the CDC has regained them or restored them back on the market. They can be used again after a preliminary review of the medical efficacy of those vaccines. So they're back up being used. We believe, from my observations at our hub and talking to other hub managers, that the removal of that shot from the market dramatically decreased demand for any of the shots. I mean, the folks that were on the fence got off the fence very quickly. Almost exclusively across the country, we've seen vaccine utilization plummet. And it's not really restored back yet this week. Last week was our slowest week we've had since. And then this week we're very busy because we're on the calendar for second doses, which are folks that received a first dose 3 or 4 weeks ago. And we're filling in the holes with first doses. If you drive up and down I-45, you'll see the signage that says no appointments needed. Well, right now you can come to the vaccine hub at Wood Forest Stadium and get in and out in less than 30 minutes without an appointment if you still want to take the opportunity to do so, because as demand has dropped, counties like Galveston have already closed their hubs. NRG, which is Harris County's hub, is scheduled to close at the end of this month. And based on our calendar of when we're going to finish first and second doses, it looks like June is going to be our last month of operation as well, the early part of June. So the opportunity to take advantage of a quick and efficient vaccine without having to get an appointment through your doctor's office or wait in line through your clinic or doctor's office of choice is starting to diminish because we are starting to wind down. So, Judge, you have a question? You had a question?
I was just going to ask about Johnson & Johnson, and okay. You pretty much covered that. You maybe said this, but who is you know, like we have the hospital district, and then we have the Conroe Hospital, and then St. Luke's.
Sure.
Who's doing Johnson & Johnson?
Well, in the county, it's been clinics like CVS or private doctor's offices. The vaccine hub where we use Lone Star Family Health Center, St. Luke's Hospital, and the Public Health District, we've not received Johnson & Johnson vaccines through those three providers.
Okay.
So it's been exclusively Moderna and Pfizer, which was used at the entire time since December. So,
is our county clinic giving Johnson & Johnson?
So the county employee clinic did receive 100 doses of Johnson & Johnson through next level urgent care facilities, yes. So we did have some employees or dependents that received.
Did we give all 100?
Yeah, they were in and out in the same day. I mean, they the appointment slots for those 100 doses filled up fast.
How long was that? How long ago was that?
I'm not familiar with the date exactly, but I'm going to say more than a month. Yeah. So.
All right. Any other comments on that item? All right, let's move on to B. Jason?
Yep. Item B here is I received a call from Captain Hall with the Sheriff's Department. He was concerned that the increased requirements for jury selection and jury operations needing additional bailiffs since we're utilizing the convention center for that extra space. Requires additional officers because it's a much larger facility, and they do bring defendants into that area. And they were using bailiffs last year with approved CARES funds overtime. It kind of slipped through the cracks this year where we did not renew that request for overtime funding. And this is what this item is, to make sure those officers and the overtime they're earning is not accruing a liability to the county, and it's just paid out as it's earned. And we would need a fund source for that.
Okay, we have a motion and fund balance. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item C.
Item C is a request I brought back last court. Commissioner Riley asked us to go and audit it. To clarify what was said earlier by the mayor, you know, I did use the term $75,000 or less in that request, and it was brought to this court as a not to exceed amount because both the auditor and myself have not reviewed at the time that item came to court those documents. And Rakesh had asked me to come to court and ask the court to approve the reimbursement up front with a not to exceed before they did the audit work. Commissioner Riley asked us to do the audit work first. I reviewed the documents after the court, and Mayor Countryman is correct. The amount they submitted was much less than $75,000. However, you know, in Rakesh and I's defense, when we looked at those documents in a cursory review, there was credit card receipts, there was check stubs,
I move on the
and everything else.
So we 19.
Name a funding source, please.
Fund balance.
Okay.
All right. Is there any more discussion? All in favor?
Opposed?
Opposed.
Motion carries. Thank you. Proceed.
Real quick, if you would indulge me, Commissioner, I apologize because you cut me off. I did talk to Mayor Countryman and apologized for that statement. And while she's here, I want to apologize again to her for using that. I did not intend to misrepresent the city's request, but I wanted to make sure the business before the court was allowed us to move forward and audit and get it done and come back with a approved amount. So we've done that now after the fact, but I did want to issue that public apology to the mayor.
Doing that.
Thank you,
Commissioner.
Appreciate that.
Item D, consider and discuss take appropriate action on ILA between the county and ESD 4. As we are wrapping up the site, it's become very busy with a number of things going on from the fair to other events, marathons. We are losing some of our first responders that work every day at the site to other events and, of course, their normal job. So we've brought in one more ESD to help make sure we have the adequate staffing we need to do that. And so this is ESD 4, which is Needham Fire Department, which, as you know, is right around the corner from the stadium. So this ILA would be not to exceed $50,000. I do not believe we'll get anywhere near that with the wind-down calendar that we have in place now.
I move fund balance.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you
so much. Jason? All right. Tax assessor collector, Tammy?
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Item 13A, consider, discuss, and take appropriate action regarding the tax abatement granted to HL Champion Holding Company and ExxonMobil. We have received notification from ExxonMobil that they are in compliance. They have moved 477 employees from their campus located in Spring and the adjoining building to Building B, bringing them in compliance with the terms of the agreement.
Thank you.
Thank you. They've also done that with the township.
They are following up with all of the governing bodies that have granted the abatement.
And the RUD, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I have a document here that talks about the RUD.
Amy, do we need to
Move on it?
No.
Yeah, okay. They've done it. We asked them to do it. Thank you so much.
And I do believe there's two individuals here today.
All right. And thank you and welcome.
Thank you.
Who are here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right. At this time, Montgomery County Commissioner's Court will convene for public hearings.
We're going to consider the partial replats of lots 1 and 2, Block 2 of Forest Trails to be known as Forest Trails Partial Replat Number 1. The purpose of the proposed partial replat is to locate the common line between lots 1 and lot 2. There are no objections have been received prior to today's public hearing, and an HOA has not been found. We will take action on this under the County Engineer's 15A in a minute, but is anybody here to speak about that? Item B, consider the partial replat of Lot 4, Block 2 of Peach Creek Plantation, Section 2, to be known as Peach Creek Plantation, Section 2, Partial Replat Number 3. The purpose is to create four residential lots. No action is going to be taken today. The notice has been mailed to the HOA. No objections or concerns have been received as of today's date. But is anybody here to speak about this? And
I
that's
say,
the,
would you repeat that, please?
And that is the end of our public hearing.
All right, then we're going to reconvene court and take appropriate action. Amy, if you would mention our the
15A, consider and approve the final plat of Forest Trails Partial Replat Number 1.
We have a motion to approve. Need a motion?
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right. Precinct 3.
Yes, I'd like to invite Megan up with BGE. She is going to give us an update of the major thoroughfare plan.
Good morning, everyone. So as you all know, we've been actively working on updating the major thoroughfare plan from the 2016 previously determined plan to what we're going to be calling 2021, because that's when we anticipate this being able to be adopted by the court. And I wanted to just give you guys a status update of where we are on it, next steps, and some feedback that I need from the court today. So far, we've held all of our stakeholder meetings with all of the commissioners in their small groups. We had some really great feedback come up in those, and we've started making draft changes to the maps. And we've provided those actually back to each of y'all's offices to make sure that we were capturing what we heard and getting y'all's feedback on that. So we do need some additional feedback from each of you commissioners on the draft maps that we have put forward. But some of the updates that we did look at including, we took a look at corridors that were laid out in floodplains or in the rivers, and we opted to make some changes to those and try and get them out of the waterways. We updated the map to try and include a more robust collector network, so it wasn't simply all thoroughfares that were being shown on your map. Your county is more than just thoroughfares. There are collectors, there are local streets that all make up your mobility. We also tried to focus on the key connections and updated alignments to accommodate what we know is coming and what we know has already been built. And we did analyze and look at several proposed developments as part of this as well to make sure, again, we were capturing what's happening in the county today. This doesn't do us any good if we're not capturing what's actually happening. And so those were some of the changes we made and provided back to y'all. So here we are today. This is my mid-project update for you guys. And really what's next, and this is really what I need y'all's feedback on, is the public meetings. So when we started this process, we were very clear in the beginning, we need feedback from the public to move this forward. And if we don't get that feedback, then we don't achieve the buy-in that we need to make the changes to the map. Contractually, we said we would have two in-person meetings. Now, in light of COVID, and just the nature of the climate of everything, we actually had a proposal to y'all to potentially look at hosting a virtual public meeting rather than two in-person ones. There's a couple of pros and cons. If we did an in-person, we would hold two. There would be one in Precinct 1 and one in Precinct 3. And that's where we would gather people for about 2 hours, and as they come and go, gather their feedback and let them know what's going on. A virtual event, we would have an interactive project website, and I actually have an example to show you guys of what that could look like. And it would have the same video presentations and the information we would present in a in-person version. But we could leave it up for 2 weeks and let more people go ahead and comment and interact with the feedback and with the changes we're making and be able to better document kind of what's going on and keep the socially distanced maybe preference or not, and just the various options open for a little bit longer. So I want to show you what that could look like. And this is something that we, that BGE has been working on with TxDOT. And so essentially it's a website. It's a really straightforward one. You click on the link and you enter in this case, a room. And there's information about the project. And so you can click on the various components of it, and it can take you to the state's website. It can take you to the project limits. You can spin around the room and look at, in this case, this isn't including an environmental component. But so this one, they're showing you that the environmental review has been done, and you can click on the documents and the ruling. Here's, you could view a presentation of the project. In our case, we would have a very robust mapping option that would actually, we've been working on digitizing the changes so that people can toggle between what was old and what is new and understand what's changed. We've been doing that just because we have to do that as part of the map update, but that's something we can present to the public to allow them to have that feedback. And we can do that in person as well. It's just a little bit more limited because now you're at one or two computer stations and trying to get that interaction. I wanted to present you with this option, though, because I thought it was a viable one. It's definitely not as simple as project websites can be. It's very interactive, and it can be whatever we need it to be for you guys. And so wanted to just to get some feedback from the court and see what y'all's opinions were on it. At the end of the day, if you want us to have two in-person meetings, we will have two in-person meetings. I'm here to make this as easy and painless as possible for y'all.
As far as for the 1 and 3, I'd love to see it done like this. Just have a 2-week window where we can get that out to, you know, all of the cities and the township and all the HOAs and try to get as many people looking at it as possible. Because those, y'all do a great job at hosting those in-person events, but even the most well-attended events have few people.
That's right.
They do. That is one of the challenges.
Excellent.
Yeah, he's right. Have the ability to,
yes,
to do this. I personally like the in-person because it's more personable, but you probably won't get 10 people in that room. You know,
yeah.
Different deal. Right. So,
so we do them all virtual? The whole thing?
It would be, we would do one big virtual. It would cover all of the precincts. We could even push it to 3 weeks if you really wanted us to. I've got no problem with that timeline, whether it's 2 or 3. We would send it out to all of the precincts to distribute amongst your people. We would look to all of the organizations. We'd send it to the chambers. We'd send it to everybody and get the word out and open up the window and open up the comment period, basically. And then we take that feedback and incorporate it into the final documents, if you will, to where we can.
I think we'll extend it to 3 weeks, but I think the virtual is the way to go.
I'm comfortable with 3 weeks if we want to go 3 weeks.
Sure.
That's what I would do.
I think so.
Awesome. Okay, so what I need to move forward with that then is I have sent each of you guys your preliminary map, so I just need to get confirmation that you're comfortable with your map, with each precinct's initial maps, because we'll want to get those roughly set based on the stakeholder feedback and y'all's feedback before we move it to the public comment piece. And then we'll open it up for 3 weeks. And I will be able to send you all also the link to the site so you can peruse it, make sure you're happy with everything on there before we go live with it as well. Wonderful. So that's pretty much where we are at the update. I'll reach out to each of y'all individually about feedback specific to your maps and to your staff. We'll get set it, working towards a public meeting date that'll probably start in maybe 2 weeks-ish, and it'll really depend on how fast I get y'all's feedback. And then we'll go live for 3 weeks, and we'll keep moving towards our end date of this summer, of getting this wrapped up so the court can adopt it and move forward with it.
Thank you very much. Good work.
Thank you. Good work.
Great Excellent. Job.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Right. Commissioner Nowak?
Yes, sir. And then item number 2, I'd like to move that to executive session.
Okay, we can do that. All right. Then we're going to dismiss for a few moments to executive session. The court recess pursuant to one or more of the following provisions of the Texas Government Code, to wit, Chapter 551, Subchapter D, Articles 551.071. Thank you, and we'll be back in as quick as we can. All right, as we move forward, thank you for waiting. The first item that we wanted to mention that has to do with the item from Precinct 3, number 2, and that there is no action or motion made on that. But I did want to recognize Jim Springer and John Boucher with the Groundwater District who are here today. Thank you for being here, for being patient as we process through this whole deal. Welcome. And then the other items, these various items, there's no action to be taken on these except for the item B. And Amy, you have a motion for us to move forward on that?
Yes, it was to authorize the Lionbarger Law Firm to develop a plan for distribution of the American Rescue Plan Act funds for Montgomery County, and authorize a judge to sign any documents.
I'll second that.
Relating thereto.
Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We'll move forward on that. Thank you all. Are there any, at this time, as we wind down here, are there any other citizens who would like to make comment on anything as we move forward? If not, I would like to entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move.
Second? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carries. We're done. Thank you all very much for being here.